Praise the Lord. Good to see you on this wonderful Sunday night service, our Vision Sunday. Started off with a great morning. What a wonderful spirit God gave us in the service. Felt like there was a lot of liberty in the preaching, and I appreciate that because that is indicative of a tender and receptive hearts from the hearers. And I appreciate you so much just having a hunger for God's Word and God's will for your life and for our church. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, what God has in store for us in the coming year, some calendar events and also some projects that we're going to be launching out by faith to accomplish for the glory of God. I want to welcome all those that are tuning in live stream. Several are out not feeling well and staying home and just viewing online. I just want to welcome you. We love you. We miss you and hope you can get back soon. And I just want to say, if you are tuning in live stream, would you just mind just saying hello on there and just letting us know you're praying for us and looking forward to going forward by faith? If you would, just say a little note on there. Let us know you're watching, and we would certainly appreciate that. And the rest of you here, you can just say amen.
Amen.
Hey, that's good. I like it. Well, we're going to begin with prayer because there's no better way to prepare than by prayer. Seeking God's face and letting Him know how dependent we are on Him and His Spirit. So at this time, would you join me in prayer? We'll all pray silently, and then I'll pray out loud here in just a few moments. Let's invite the work of the Holy Spirit to work in our midst tonight. Would you pray with me? Gracious, wonderful, marvelous, magnificent Savior, we come to you tonight with a heart of gratitude, gratefulness, Lord, that you would look down upon us and see us as hopeless and helpless because of our sin, and you would send forth a Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to rise again the third day so that we could have everlasting life. Father, thank you. Oh God, we are forever indebted to Thee. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, His ministry in our lives, that He indwells the believers, and we are sealed till the day of redemption. And Lord, thank you for His ministry in teaching us and guiding us and filling us, so that we can accomplish the will of God. Tonight, Lord, as we continue our Vision Sunday, we pray that our hearts would be steadfast upon you, that we would seek to honor our God tonight through faith and obedience. May you have your will and way in every heart present. We pray for everyone tuning in live stream that you would touch their hearts as well. And God, my prayer is that you would unite our hearts to fear your holy name. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I do want to draw your attention just to a few announcements. If you have a bulletin, if you don't have one, you can grab one on your way out. There's plenty there, I believe, left over from today. But we do want to remind you that this Wednesday, missionary Michael Force, Michael and Amanda Force, going to Alaska, will be here in our service. They'll show their presentation, and I want to encourage you to do your best to be here. Be faithful. It's an encouragement to the missionary. And also, when a missionary comes that I have invited, we are considering that missionary family for support. And so I don't believe the Holy Spirit just leads the pastor. I believe the Holy Spirit leads the congregation and partnering together with the missionaries. I love for you to be here. I love for you to get to know them and talk with them and get a sense of God's leading as we look to get the gospel to all the places where the Lord will allow us to go. And so that'll be this Wednesday at 7 p.m. You be in your place, and I trust God will give you the grace to be here. And then also, I do want to remind you of a Bible reading schedule we are doing together this year. It started, of course, yesterday, Genesis 1 through 3. If you have not picked one of these up, I encourage you, there's a few left in the foyer. You grab one, and if you did not get one and we run out, we can have more here very soon. But if you can just go ahead and read three chapters a day, that's what it is. And once you get your bookmark here, if you will, a little pamphlet that's got where you can kind of keep up with it and check them off as you go, that would be great. Now, I say this, church, and I hope you know my heart on this. It's not about just checking off a sheet of paper saying you read your Bible. It's much more than that. This is an accountability. It helps. It encourages us. If you've never read the Bible through, it's a great goal for the Christian to read through the Bible. But what the most important thing is that you're reading God's Word daily. And if He does not lead you to do this year, I don't want you to feel guilty about that. But if we can do it together and you feel like you'd like to take a step of faith and do it, God will help you. And He will honor your faith. And we'll be reading the same thing every day. If you miss some days, don't worry about it. Just keep reading, because we'll be reading together. So those are available. And again, thank you so much for just your faithfulness to the Word of God. All right. Well, we're going to begin now here in just a moment with our calendar. Now, every year, the Lord just gives us some of the most beautiful pictures that are taken by our church members. And you'll get that here in just a moment. I'm not going to reveal the gift bag at this time. But I know I say this every year, church, but I really do mean this. I believe this is the best one yet. The pictures are just amazing. The clarity, and we've actually added a couple additions to this calendar. Some neat features I think you'll like. You'll see it when you get it. But that's just some of the pictures. But what I'm going to refer to right now is some of the ministries that we will be attending and accomplishing by the grace of God throughout the calendar year. Some of the things you already know about that we've had to go over. I gave you an abbreviated calendar to just let you know some of the highlights like VBS, and we'll go over those again. And I'd like to say this too before we dive right into the year calendar, is that as we go forward by faith, church, there's one thing about anybody who's been a Christian at least 5 minutes in your life, you realize that sometimes your plans are not God's plans. And we give God the right, because He is the authority. He's in charge. We yield to Him. Anytime He wants to change our plans, hey, we yield. Because it's not about accomplishing our agenda. It's about accomplishing His agenda. And so we understand that sometimes the calendar can change if the Holy Spirit moves us to do something else. But we believe that God also likes us to be orderly. He likes us to be diligent and to plan by faith. And so that's what we're doing. And I just kind of preface that by saying that we're yielded to the Lord. And this is the direction we're going unless He changes our direction. Well, let's begin quickly here with our first highlight on the calendar. It's coming up a week from tonight. We are having our Youth Unity Night for all those 7th grade through 12th grade and their parents. And we want you to be a part of this. They just got back from a wonderful trip to North Carolina. I hadn't had a chance to ask about how the messages went and whatnot, but from what Brother Arthur told me, they went very well. And that the Lord spoke to hearts. The young people had a great spirit among the just all of them going together. And we're just really a joy to be around. I appreciate Arthur and Lauren taking them to North Carolina for that. Thank you for those that prayed. But this night is important. So parents, make a double effort to be there for this, and I believe you will not regret it. Then, the end of this month, we're taking a group of men to the men's prayer advance. And this is going to be the first time that we have attended this prayer advance as a group of men from our church. I went last year, and I want to tell you, the Lord used it to change my life in several ways, how I view prayer and how I view the importance of prayer in my life and in the life of a local church. And so right now we have 12 men signed up to go.
If you have not signed up and you would like to go, it's not too late. We're going to leave out Thursday morning, the 27th, and we'll return Saturday, the 29th, Roanoke, Virginia. And so if you feel like the Lord would want you to go on that, please let me know. And we're making arrangements for reserved hotels. And so if you want to get on, you may need to get on quick because the hotels book up. And then coming in February, we're going to have a Valentine's banquet. We are doing that this year, and we have decided to do something on campus this year. Sometimes we take a trip to the wilds, and sometimes we do something different. But this year, we're going to do something here on the campus of the church, and we'll be getting more details about that. But we want to always try to seek to be a blessing to those who are married and encourage them in their walk with God and their marriage together and things of that nature. So that is going to be coming up on the 12th of February. And then in March, something we're doing for the first time as a church ministry, we're going to have a turkey shoot, a ministry called 6-Day Outdoor Ministry. He's going to be coming to our church, and the outreach will be held here at the church, Lord willing. That could change, but this is a wonderful ministry to all those that love the outdoors, men, women, boys and girls that enjoy those things. We'll even have something for the children at a lower level, perhaps, maybe a target shooting with a BB gun and just seeking to do something fun like that. But for the others, the turkey shoot will have a competition with most likely 12-gauge or 20-gauge. And what the purpose of it is, it's an evangelistic outreach. We're going to promote it big to this community. We live in a rural area. I think there will be a big draw to people that are interested in this. We'll have door prizes. And we are, the goal is to get as many lost and unchurched people here as we can to give them the gospel. Yes, we'll have fun shooting guns, but we'll also get them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this brother who runs this ministry, he does it all over the country. And so he'll come, he'll help us set it up, and it'll be an all-day event there. We'll have lunch here, and again, it's going to be open to the whole family, men and women, boys and girls who have an interest in that sort of sport, and we will have a great time with that. So be praying about that, but also be praying about how you can be involved. We'll be getting you the details. There'll be door prizes offered that we can contribute as a church. Again, that will go towards our visitors that come. There'll be a drawing and things of that nature. And we want it just to be a real blessing. And then in April, not long after that, in April 1st and 2nd, we'll have the Georgia Men's Advance. That's right here in our own backyard at Jackson County Baptist. We had about 19 men go last year. And what an encouragement that was. Had a great response. I hope we'll have a great sign-up again this coming year, and the Lord used it in our lives. And then in April, we'll be having our annual sunrise service. It's always a big, I think, a big blessing to our church and our community. And maybe it won't be quite as cold this year. It's later on in April, so maybe it'll be warmed up a little bit. And we're probably going to send out some literature on that, inviting people in. So again, just another way that we can reach out to our community. And then on May 19th, we have West Coast Baptist College going to be here on a Thursday night. This is over in Lancaster, California, a church and school that God is greatly using, training men and women for the ministry. And they will be here. We'll plan to be here. You mark your calendars for that. And when the time comes, we're going to give you an overview. In fact, I'll go ahead and show you that so you can kind of get a heads up. This year, we put an extra page in there that gives an overview of the whole year and has highlights on it with a brief description over here on the side. Maybe you can stick this on the fridge just to let you know what's coming up. And those of you that have not planned vacation yet, hopefully you haven't, and you can see where you can schedule around some of these church events. And then, Neighborhood Bible Time. VBS will be first week of June 5th through the 10th. And all hands on deck. We had a wonderful time last year. We had 11 young people trust Christ as their Savior in our Neighborhood Bible Time this past year, and I believe that will increase. So we'll be getting you details on that. Brother Arthur will, as he did a great job directing last year, and I know he will again this year. And then shortly after that, in the month of July, we're going to have our fellowship and fireworks. That was a big hit. As you recall, we were not expecting what the Lord wanted to do that night. But I want to tell you, when we had the 4th of July here, We had people coming from everywhere. Our parking lots were full. People were out of their cars from the community. And it was just it was very successful because we were able to reach out to them and invite them to church and to let them know we're a church that cares, that loves them, but more importantly, God loves them and died for them so they could be eternally saved from their sin and from sin's penalty. And that was our goal. And the fireworks were beautiful, too. We only had several men down there that almost blew themselves up. Why are you guys looking at Colin? I was like, no, they did great. I say that just kind of kidding, but they did a great job. And anytime you're shooting fireworks, there's always that chance. But anyway, it was a great time we had together. And then, the week after that, so you have that Sunday, and then that Monday morning, our young people, juniors and teens, will be going to the Wilds. They will be going up the same week together. It's the first time we've really been able to do this, and we believe God's going to use this week in a mighty way in our youth department. And so, parents, you begin marking your calendar for that. I think we already gave it out a couple months ago to let you know that's the week. But please make it a point. If finances is a problem, you let us know as a church, because we're giving scholarships, especially for those in our Master Clubs ministry. But even there's other opportunities for kids to earn money towards camp. You can see Brother Arthur Acosta about that if you have any questions. And then at the end of July, before the kids go back to school, the last week there of July, we'll have our summer revival with Evangelist Dave Young. This brother is being used greatly, especially in the area of the home. Just how to be the right spouse, the right parent, grandparent, whether it be just the right whatever you are in your role in the home. He's got some wonderful messages that I believe will be a help to our church as we get ready to go back to school and end the summer. Let's be faithful to that. And then we will go right into October. September is going to be a sort of a restful month for our church. We won't have a lot on the calendar, but when we come around to October, that's our annual missions conference, which is always a blessing and a high point. And I believe the Lord will be there with us and will increase our faith once again to take on more missionary families. And then we'll go into November with our fall festival on November 12th. I hope you'll mark your calendar there and prepare for that. And then there's the live nativity on December the 18th. We plan on doing that again. We're going to give some additions to it in the coming year. And so that's always a highlight for our church to end with that in our outreach. So as we go forward by faith, there's some preaching that I will be focusing on. All right. This past year, our focus was standing in awe. We talked about the names of God and went through that series. We finished up the book of Acts. But the Lord has really clearly laid on my heart, and I was a little hesitant at first because there are some it's a deep book. But I believe the Lord wants us to preach through the book of Romans. And the theme is comes from our verse in 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Because if you notice in the book of Romans, the first five chapters talks about justification by faith. That's our salvation. And then after our salvation, you'll notice six through the rest of the book that we actually serve God by faith. And we live each day by faith. And so we'll go through that book with God's help. And then also a book that will be in our AM service. And then I want to encourage you to be faithful to the PM service. Because that, with the Lord's help, except when we have missionaries, that is when I'm going to be going through the book of Joshua. You see, Joshua, we'll talk a little bit about this more here in just a minute. But Joshua was called forth to lead the Israelites into the land of Canaan, which is a place that is a type of the victorious Christian life. And six, we'll be going through that book. I trust that you will make it a point to be here with you. And I know the Lord will help us as we study that book together. And then also, at some point in the year, we will be looking at Hebrews 11, also referred to as the Hall of Faith, and talked about different ones in the Word of God who walked by faith, and God blessed them immensely for that very thing. And so please, church, mark your calendars. Be praying about these events. You'll see them on your calendar here in just a moment. But anyway, I just want you to be in mind, be mindful about those different things. All right, so we have a song right now, Brother Mike. We're going to sing our theme song. All right, why don't you stand with me for a moment, and we'll sing that together.
All right, does everybody have a copy of the words? If not, just raise your hand, and we'll get one to you. Looks like everybody has one. Well, let's say our theme verse for this year, which is going to be Romans 1:17. So everybody help me say that. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17. All right, well, let's sing our theme song, Forward by Faith.
And again, appreciate Noel working on that that song and writing that song. It's really good, and it helps us, encourages us to keep our heart and mind stayed upon the Lord as we trust Him and as we walk by faith. Well, if you would, please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 14 is where we'll be. Where did Brother get me a drink of water? Could you get me a cup? Thanks, Brother Mike. Exodus chapter 14 is where we'll be starting off tonight. I want to, after we went through our calendar, I still have some of the ministries that I believe God is leading us to do and projects that I believe God is leading us to do. I'll go over that at the end of the message. But just want to share a few thoughts with you as we prepare for that. Exodus chapter 14. And I'd like for you to look with me there at verse number 13. And I'm going to read through verse 16. All right. So Exodus chapter number 14, verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. I want you to underline that in your Bible, that they go forward. Verse 16 says, But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God Almighty, we are rejoicing tonight in Your Word. Lord, I lay hold of Your Word tonight. I believe it. I rest completely upon it. And I thank You for it. And I pray that it would do a work in my heart tonight, in the heart of everyone listening. And I pray, Lord, as we go forward by faith, that You will help us to have a year that is truly marked by steps of faith that we never dreamed we could take. Oh God, only by Your grace. So, Lord, we commit this message and this night to You and to Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of tonight's message is Go Forward. Go forward, and goes with our message because it implies that the children of Israel go forward by faith. You may be familiar. I think most of you probably are familiar with our account here. The children are at the brink of crossing the Red Sea. And it was deep, by the way. It was over their heads. There was no just ankle-deep water here. It was a miracle that God would do before the children of Israel and also before the Egyptian army to show forth His great power and His great deliverance, which, by the way, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He provided for us by dying on the cross. He parted the way of sin so that we could have a way to God and to be reconciled to God. Notice with me here just a couple things as we look at this. As they're preparing to cross the Red Sea, I want to remind you that there was not just two or three Israelites. I want to tell you that it was probably up to 3 million Israelites. Did you hear that? 3 million. Hey, we don't know the exact number, but we know there were a lot of them. Now, they found themselves in a precarious spot. They had the devil chasing them, the Egyptian army, which Pharaoh is, I believe, a type of the devil. They had the devil behind them, chasing them, and they had the deep blue sea in front of them. They had the deep red sea in front of them. But nevertheless, they were put in a position that they were going to have to trust God. They were going to have to believe God for a miracle. Now, in this large group of nearly 3 million people, we know that there were two young men in this group. And I mentioned that I had an account to share with you about two young men that were definitely in this group, that would not forget this miracle that they were about to witness. Now, I will remind you that most were complaining at this point. Most of the 3 million people were saying, Moses, you have brought us out here to be buried. You have brought us out here to die. We would have been better off just staying in Egypt. That was the overriding theme of the tone of the hearts of the children of Israel. Aren't you glad God is merciful, by the way? That He many times forgives us of our complaining and our lack of faith. I mean, I giggle sometimes, you know, just to keep from crying. But there are times that we really do just lack faith, and we start doubting God, and we complain. But I want to tell you, friends, the Lord is merciful. And as He is here, and Moses is leading the people of Israel, God, as we read there together, He tells them to fear not, to stand still, and to see the salvation of the Lord that He's going to show them that day. And I thank God for verse 14 that says, the Lord shall fight for you. You ought to underline that in your Bible. The Lord shall fight for you. And that second phrase says, and ye shall hold your peace. That, in other words, listen, it's not even necessary for you to say anything. You just walk by faith. God is going to open a way. He's going to make a way through the Red Sea. But back to this group, this large group. You got two young men there that have a different attitude than the rest of them. I mean, think about that. That's a lot of people, is it not? I mean, we're not just talking about just a few people. We're talking about over a million, several million people. But there were two here that were standing there looking at their leader, Moses. And they were believing God to do something miraculous. Now, I don't know much about these young men's parents. I do know the names of these two young men, and you've probably guessed it by now. They're probably around 35 years old at this point of getting ready to cross the Red Sea. Joshua and Caleb. You see, these two young men that were crossing with the rest of the millions there had a different aspect, had a different attitude upon what God was doing. How were they influenced in that way? What made the difference? I don't know all the details, but I don't know. In my imagination, I wonder if they didn't have a mom and dad who were full of faith, who influenced them as even as young boys to follow God no matter what, to keep their eyes on God. I mean, we got to remember these boys were in slavery all of their life. Up to the time that they were delivered from Egypt, they were slaves. They were in very hard and cruel environments every day of their life. They had a hard taskmaster, Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And I tell you, I wonder if maybe mom or dad would say sometimes, "Don't worry, boys. God is going to honor His word." I wonder if they just did not express a faith that God would eventually deliver them from the promise that was made to their forefathers, beginning with Abraham, that all the nations would be blessed and a Messiah would come and would deliver them. I wonder who influenced them along those lines. I'm not quite sure, but there was a difference in their hearts. And God blessed them for that. It was Joshua, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim. And it was Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the tribe of Judah. These young men would cross over, and they would cross over with everyone else. But they had to go forward by faith. And in verse 15, that's really where I wanted to draw your attention to the most tonight, is that when it came time to go, they were going to have to go forward. And when Moses lifted up the rod and the seas parted, they still had to make a choice to go forward. Because you can imagine, you see this miracle taking place, no telling how high these walls of water are. And as the Bible says, the ground was dry. It was not damp. It was not wet in any way. It was dry. You got people like Thomas Jefferson who are going to cut out the miracles of the Bible. But listen, I believe in the God of miracles, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who is transcendent, who is infinite and eternal, who is immutable, who is the Almighty God. And nothing is too hard for Him. And He parted the waters, He made the dry ground, and then they were required to go forward by faith. So, let's use our imaginations here. As these nearly 3 million people will act as if this spot right here between the pews is the Red Sea, they're starting to march their way forward. I don't know if you're going to be able to turn it all the way around, brother, but they're marching their way forward. And I don't know about y'all, but if I was in that group, Brother Brock, I would have been doing this the whole time. I mean, I'm going to be looking up at the waters, and me of little faith, you know, most likely, I'm going to be wondering, man, these things could fall on us at any moment. By the way, you ever feel like that in your Christian life? You're in the midst. God has made a way. You're walking through. God has said, go forward. And you just like, maybe these waters are going to crash any moment. Can I tell you something right now? It gives me chills thinking about it. The waters are not going to crash. you keep walking forward by faith. Joshua and Caleb had a good attitude. The rest of them perhaps were complaining as they were going through.
Hey, we're gonna die. We're going to be buried out here. But they found out the otherwise. They found out that God led them all the way through. He dropped the waters upon the evil army of the Egyptians, the wicked army, and did exactly what He said He would do. He honored His word, and He delivered them. And their faith, as we see in this passage, will be evidenced in whether or not they will go forward. And they did go forward. But their faith was short-lived. It wasn't long at all before they got out of the deliverance of the Red Sea. They began complaining about the bitter waters and the lack of provisions. And they would go on complaining. And because of that, they would end up having to spend a lot of time in the wilderness. 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. And I'm going to mention more of that here in just a moment. And when it came time for Moses to send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, why did he do that? Well, they were surveyors, if you will. They were going forward to see the land that God had promised them. So 12 spies went. They all came back. There were only two that came back with a good report. And you guessed it. Joshua, the son of Nun. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. They came back after seeing the grapes, the milk, and the honey. They saw the land. They saw the high-walled cities. They saw the giants. They saw it all. And they came back with a report to Moses saying, Moses, we are well able to take the land. But the other 10 said, we are not able. The other 10 said, there's no way we can overcome those giants. There's no way we will be able to overcome them and to have victory and to conquer this land. It's going to be too hard. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. You never notice how a lot of times when we are going through a season of doubt, Satan has a way of truly magnifying or making it seem, the situation seem to be magnified. In other words, I wonder, I don't know for a fact, but I wonder if there's just some exaggeration going on here. Not saying there weren't giants, because they were, but they just would not recognize the omnipotent hand of God wanting to lead them to the land of Canaan. They were simply going off only what they could see. But Joshua and Caleb were going off of what they could not see, the very fact that the future they could not see, but they believed God could do it. They believed the Lord could do it. And can I say the key element to faith is the element of the unseen. If you can see it, it's not faith. If you can see it, it's not faith. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say it together. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, we believe that God's Word is enough. As I said this morning, faith does not rely on what we see, but on what God says to His people and to His church. And can I say that you cannot outgrow faith? I don't care if you've been saved 50 years in this room tonight, you still need to grow in your faith. I need to grow in my faith as a pastor. I need to grow it as a Christian, as a father, as a daddy. I need to grow in my faith. And I'm asking God to do that in my life. And I'm asking God to do it in your life.
I'm thankful for what a great missionary of the past, Adoniram Judson, said when he was going through some of the hardest times of his life and reaching lost souls in Burma. He said this when he was questioned about, why are you still at it? Why do you still go forward for God after being imprisoned and burying family members? Why do you still do what you do? You know what his response was? He says, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. That's a bright future, folks. If you have faith in God. If faith is in self, I want to tell you the future is not too bright. If your faith is in this country, your faith is not too bright. If your faith is in man in general, it's not too bright. We know we're thankful when men do stand up and stand for righteousness and do us right. But folks, when it comes right down to it, men disappoint us. God never will. He will never change. He's perfect and holy and just and kind and benevolent. He's a righteous judge and a righteous Lord. And when I will say this, the more we live by faith, the more God is revealed to us and through us. I want to clarify something I said this morning. I mentioned the fact that, you know, you hear that statement, well, you just need to have more faith. And I said, well, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that statement. I don't think I clarified well enough on what I meant by that. I do believe we can increase in our faith. I believe our faith can grow. Of course I do. But what I mean by is there is sometimes a general statement made out there where you just need to have more faith. Well, is that just talking about positive thinking? Is that just talking about having faith in faith? My friends, what we need is we need to have more reliance and confidence in God. That's where we grow as Christians. We become more and more reliant upon the Lord God Almighty. You know, I think about going forward through the Red Sea, and I think about the fact of how God is going to use Joshua and Caleb in a mighty way. But sadly tonight, I'm not going to end on this, so don't worry. But I also remember, because of the children of Israel refusing to take God at His word, God says, all right, enough is enough. Look with me in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. If you were there in Exodus, you can go on over to Leviticus and then the book of Numbers. Look at chapter 14. This is in reference to Joshua and Caleb having a different spirit about them. Verse 24, he even makes recognition of, this is chapter 14, of Caleb having another spirit. He followed God fully. He relied upon the Lord fully. And he shall possess it. But then the congregation that continued to murmur and complain against God and God's will for them to go forward, they didn't want to go forward. Notice what it says, and I'm going to pick up in verse 28. It says here, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land. That's talking about the land of Canaan. Concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save or except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, now you hear even the Lord reminding them because of their lack of faith to protect their children. He says, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And then he goes on to say that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that was because that 40 days they spied out the land. It was 40 days it took them to spy out the land. And God says, all right, I'm going to give you a year for every day that you were in the land. So he's saying that those 20 and above were not going to go because of their unbelief.
And that verse is found even in, I don't have time to go to it tonight, but in Hebrews chapter 3, it actually makes the statement that they could not enter into the land of Canaan because of their unbelief. And church, we need to be reminded of that tonight. The things that God's got planned for you to do and the things God is doing in your life, you can limit God by your unbelief. And when I say limit, God is desiring to do a great work in your heart, in my heart. But if you refuse to believe Him, that's going to limit His work in your life. We don't want to limit God, do we, church? We don't want to limit what God desires to do through us. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Now, that's a big jump, folks. Yet, these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. You see, faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows to entrap us. And a lot of times in local churches, just like this one, and many others, can be enclosed by the things of life, and we refuse to take those steps of faith just because we can't see how it's going to happen. And we live in defeat. But my friends, God's got better plans for us than that. We may not be able to see, but we go forward. A great missionary to China said this, Hudson Taylor. He said this very thing. He says, I have found that there are 3 stages in every great work of God. He said, first, it is impossible. Then, it is difficult. Then, it is done. And that man walked with God by faith. And I want to say, as we go forward in what I believe the Lord is leading our church to do, we go forward by faith. I want to mention a few things to you right now that I believe God is leading us to do by faith. Notice with me, number one, I believe God is leading us to launch a new ministry by faith. A new ministry that is not anything new to the church that I have not mentioned, but it's something we're going to officially launch in the coming year. And that is freedom that lasts. This is an addictions ministry that is reaching to all people of all backgrounds and all seasons of life. Not just people outside the church, but people in the church. You and me, we are going to go through this together initially, and then we are going to seek to have this ministry open for our community to find victory and freedom in Jesus Christ. Because that's the freedom that's going to last. We're not just talking about a ministry that's teaching people just to turn a new leaf or to have some new resolutions and to improve upon themselves. No, it is about teaching people that there can be a new birth. And after a new birth, there can be a life of faith that depends completely upon God Almighty. A doctrine that teaches that God Himself is more than enough for me. I don't need to worry. I don't need this or that. I don't need this and that. I don't need the drugs or the alcohol. It teaches that we do not need those things to be able to function in life, to feel satisfied in life. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ Himself is more than enough for me. That's what we'll teach. I think we probably had close to 20 to 30 people sign up for that. In the coming weeks, in the coming month, I will be contacting you personally to see where you feel like God would lead you in being a part of this ministry.
how you would see yourself fitting and helping accomplish this ministry. And this is a long-term ministry. We're not looking. This is going to be part of our DNA. It's going to be part of our mission here at Crooked Creek Baptist. We've never had this specific type of outreach, but we need to. Someone just shared with me today. Someone that is dear to them is struggling with addictions, and we hear it all the time. It's all around us. Loved ones, very close and near, that need encouragement. They need to be set free. And by the grace of God, we're going to launch this. We'll have training in place. It will be done in an orderly, organized fashion. And I know it's by faith. It's going to have to be God, folks. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can say, God, here am I. But Lord, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to part the Red Sea on this, Lord. We're going to walk through on dry ground, though. Amen. And we're going to see Him bring great deliverance to those that will turn to Christ and trust Him. We also see, as we move forward by faith, we see that the Lord desires us to continue and our evangelizing and reaching out to our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're re-implementing our grow teams. And we're going to launch that on February 5th. And so in the next couple weeks, you're going to receive a survey by email. Those of you that do not have internet, we can get you a hard copy. It's nothing too in-depth, but it's just basically a survey of where you could see yourself fitting and helping this outreach. Not everybody's gifted the same. Not everybody has the same desires. Not everybody has the same schedules. And those things must be considered in a local church ministry. But I do believe that many of us can be involved on a Saturday outreach where we go and pass out door hangers and flyers and other ways that we can reach people with Jesus Christ. Folks, there are people all around us that have yet to be touched with a personal confrontation with the gospel. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because I've talked to people in these neighborhoods around us that have never been truly confronted with their need to trust Christ and not just a religion. You see, there's a great need. We will go forward by faith and trust the Lord to give us the grace as we go forward. Not only these outreach teams that we will put forth, and again, we will seek to organize it in such a way where we'll have teams going out each Saturday and outreach in some way, but we also look to, in the next couple months, to present to you our church constitution. This is a document that we've been working on diligently for 3 years. I had no idea what I was embarking on. I thought it was just going to be something real simple that we print out and we're good. And I was far from it. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we have gone through it as the finance committee for countless hours going through it. We've submitted it to the Christian Law Association. They have sent it back with some recommendations and whatnot that we have considered and taken. And so now it's just getting our format in place. And then we will be making that available to you in the next couple months. This is a document that I believe is going to bring a great help and unity to our church. Great clarity in the day and world we're living in. It's good. It's necessary for us to be legally on good ground when it comes to stating what we believe and what we hold to as a church for our doctrine and for our practice. And so that is exciting. That's something we have been praying through for several years now. We have been working at it, going on about 4 years, actually, that we've been working on that. So be praying about those things. Well, we continue to go forward by faith. And as we have gone forward by faith, you know, that's something that I believe this church has been known for many years. It's hard to believe that next year, 2023, the church will be celebrating 220 years of being right here in South Jackson, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, through the years, God has blessed this church with people who love Jesus Christ, who have been saved here, baptized, have grown the Lord, and been married here, and have raised their families here through these centuries, these 2 centuries that God has blessed, and the church continues to grow. In 1803, there was a group of people that got together and started a church right over behind me here, and right by the cemetery, and put up a building and started meeting there. No electricity, of course, in 1803. They met there when there was light. In fact, when Ms. Elizabeth was still living, she used to tell us that even in the 1940s, the place still did not have electricity. That building that we can see now, show a picture of that. This was the building right over there by the cemetery that was put up by the church. And if you don't have a little booklet that was put together at the bicentennial, I will make it available to you. We have plenty of extra copies. We're going to update it. Hopefully by next year, we're going to update that booklet. But nevertheless, it gives a history of the church, the people that served here, that loved this church, and the pastors that served here. It's an amazing little booklet that a lot of hard work went in it. But the church continued to grow. And in the 1960s, a man by the name of Bill Carpenter, who was a man filled with God's Spirit, he's still a man of God, loves the Lord. He's not able to get out as much because of his health, but he came to the church in the 1960s, and the church started growing. And there was revival there. They started running buses, and the Lord was blessing. And then in 1970, this land where we are now, where the church is now, owned by the Stringers, Jake Stringer's family, donated this property so that the church could build and expand. And in 1970, we'll see that picture right there, the church started going up. That is this current building right here, and that is being built probably 1969. And then the Lord continued to bless. People were being saved. I remember, I can just recall even in the past few months and over the past couple years, here is the pastor talking to people in these neighborhoods that are well into their 60s now, and would say, yes, we used to ride the bus. Our children rode the bus, and I got saved there. That's where I was baptized. And just the testimonies you still hear in this community when God moved. And by the way, God's not done. Amen. God's not done. And under the leadership of Bill Carpenter, the church grew and went through struggles at times. When Brother Carpenter left, there were times, but God still preserved His church because there were still people that remained here, like Brock Wynn, who is here tonight, and others that were here and remained faithful, trusting that God had a plan for this church. And God was using this congregation, this body, to reach this community. And God brought a man by the name of Brother Tom Miles here in the late 1980s, and the church started to grow again. And the Lord blessed. People were saved. Families were added to the church where they had to grow and they had to build again. In 1993, the church once again expanded. That there that you see is taken from the backside of the property, looking back towards the church. That's the fellowship hall. There up at the top and on the bottom, of course, is the educational wing where all the adult classrooms are. That was in 1992 when they started building that. And again, it was to accommodate the growing church and the needs there. Do we have another picture of that one? That was getting near completion. You can see the building there. That was in 1970, and then the back wing here in 1993. And so the Lord kept blessing. And as the Lord has continued to do that, we find ourselves now in 2022. And the Lord is growing our church. We've seen people saved and added to the church, and the Lord has blessed over these past 3 to 5 years. I want to tell you, we've expanded our classrooms. We've knocked out walls in several classrooms just to accommodate more people. And now we're filling those up. And those are getting tight. And that's a good problem, by the way. our fellowship hall on our fellowship days. As you can already tell, we're having to rearrange the way we serve because it is getting very tight in our fellowship space. And that's a good problem, by the way. And as I've prayed about over the past 2 years specifically, I've prayed about, Lord, what can we do? What can we do as a church to expand our facilities here? Our campus to accommodate more people, to accommodate more discipleship, and to accommodate more worship services and more fellowship, and to expand more space for those things. What can we do? And as I've prayed through that, I have considered this room. You've heard me mention about possibly knocking out walls in here and just updating this room. But I never got peace about that, church. I tried. We got things priced in here and what it would cost. And we had an architect even come in and recommend some things. And after everything was said and done, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to add about 50 to 60 seats is what it would end up being. And so I just have not had peace about that. And this past year, the Lord impressed something very clearly and strongly upon my heart. And I went back and forth with the Lord. I said, Lord, are you sure? Lord, are you sure? And I have gotten continual confirmation as I have shared with the staff of our church. I have shared with our finance committee and others of you that I have spoken with. I believe the Holy Spirit has used each of those to confirm in my heart that indeed God is leading us into a building program. And in the coming year, year and a half, the Lord is, I believe, leading us to build a new sanctuary next to our church building. And I don't know how all that's going to look. I'd have no idea all the details, but I believe it's coming. Do we have that picture, brother? This is just that, not of what we have in mind, but this is what we are putting up just to help us as a church to begin praying. To begin envisioning that God wants to make a larger space for us to be able to worship and to grow. Why you say, why a new building, Pastor? Is it really necessary? Well, I'll tell you why. As I have looked at the numbers, we have consistently been at 80%. And we have pretty much got at a tipping point, if you will, of that 80%. We've reached that plateau, if you will. And there's not much increase over the past few years. And I've been taught, and statistics and facts prove it, that many times a ministry that gets up to about 80% capacity plateaus, and there's not much growth because people from the community, just guests and whatnot, are not as comfortable packing it in necessarily. But what this would allow us to do, church, it would allow us to have a larger sanctuary for anywhere to up to 400 seat capacity. It would allow us to add some larger classrooms. And another thing that it would allow us to do that I would plan to make a part of this building is there would be a guest apartment that would be designated for our guest missionaries, for our visiting evangelists and pastors that are coming in, guest speakers, and that would be specifically for the use of again those type of servants of the Lord. And I'm really excited about naming that and building that in honor of Ms. Elizabeth Archer. And it would be named after her, in honor of her, and that would be a place again where folks for years to come can come and feel at home, and to be able to stay there for different time periods. But that would be a part of this building too, and I want to update you on this, by the way. By the grace of God, just about 3 days ago, the house closed. There was a buyer from a neighbor that knew Ms. Elizabeth and loved Ms. Elizabeth, and she bought the place. And the Lord blessed folks, and she gave us exactly what we were asking. There was not even a lot of negotiation there, and I just believe that was of the Lord. And so, again, those funds have been put into our account. And, of course, we will designate those funds as we go forward by faith and asking God to lead us in that. But just to tell you that the Lord really blessed in that way. And I believe Ms. Elizabeth would be honored in our decision. And I say that to say this. Folks, this type of thing, an expansion of our church ministry, and what God is desiring to do is going to require us to step out by faith. Because we can't just go on what we see. We have to go upon the unseen hand of God, but we go upon the Word of God, and that we do believe the Lord is leading us to do more for Christ, to reach more families and to reach more people, and to have a place where is growing and thriving on the gospel, growing and thriving in the worship of the Most High God. Don't you believe that God's will for us is to go forward in faith? And so with the Lord's help, that's what we're going to do. And I don't have a whole lot of details other than that. In the coming months, we will look at formulating a committee of some sort, a building committee, and we'll look at just even begin looking at what it would be to get even a conceptual drawing of some sort. But we're not putting a timeline on this because we're going to be on God's timeline. But I do have some specific burdens and visions that I would like to see in this. And one of the things that came across my mind is like, Lord, what would we do with this building? If you would give us a bigger sanctuary, how could we repurpose this space, or what would we use for this space? Well, one of the things that initially comes to my mind, and I don't know if this would be a part of it, but folks, as I mentioned, the fellowship hall, we are packed in there on our large fellowship days, on a Sunday lunch of some sort. And what may be possible in the future is that These walls could come down easily. There's an office space here. The main structure's on the side. And it could easily connect that fellowship hall with this room. And this could act as an addition to the fellowship hall, also being used for classroom space. It's very easy to put walls, a wall in a room such as this, even a temporary wall or whatever it might be. But this space could be easily repurposed for the things of that nature. God would give us wisdom in that. God, I know He will, and I trust that He will. And what I'm asking you to do as a church tonight, I'm asking you to join me in prayer and seeking God's face in this matter and allowing Him to stretch us and grow us and to help us to go forward by faith. Well, upon that, I'm going to ask Brother Mike, and here in just a moment, as we're going to have our song again, but before we do that, I believe it would be an appropriate thing for us to have a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask if there could be some of you men that would join me here at this altar. And some of you may desire just to stay in your seat. That's fine. But let's pray about what God is leading us to do. Let's pray as a church. Let's join our hearts together and say, God, we want to walk by faith. And we are going to trust You for these things that seem sometimes impossible. Pray about this Freedom That Lasts ministry. Pray about the expansion of our campus with a new sanctuary. Pray about what the Lord is wanting to do in our calendar over 2022. It's going to be great. So would you come, men? Would you go ahead and come make your way forward? Brother Matt Anderson, if you would come, I'm going to have Brother Matt come to the pulpit here. And lead us in prayer as the men, we pray silently down here. And those of you that remain in your seats, let's have this pulpit mic turned on. Those of you that would like to come and join us up front at the altar, you come, men. Brother Matt, I want you to lead us, and the rest of us will pray along with you silently.
All right. Lord, Father God, I'm truly humbled, God, to stand before You. Father, to stand before You with my brothers and sisters here, that as we pray in accord to You, Father, for the works of Your desires and the the direction that you've given Branson for us to go in as a body of believers, as your church, Lord. God, I'm completely humbled that you would even allow us to be here and be a part of something that is greater than we can even understand or comprehend. Lord, Father, as we sung in the hymn, faith is a victory. And Father, the faith is a victory that we have is when you sent your Son to die for us on the cross, Lord. Father, you sent him to shed his blood for us. God, so that he was the sacrifice. There was no longer any sacrifices needed. That was done. It was finished. It was laid at the foot of the cross, Lord. God, he was buried. Lord, he rose again the third day. And Father, everyone that's in this room that is saved, Lord, we're saved by faith. God, we took a step out of faith when we heard you calling out to us. Father, the faith that we gave to you was say, Lord, I believe in you. Father, that's the same faith that I believe Branson is asking us to have in you and in the vision that God, that you have given him for this year. God, it's not a salvation faith. It's a faith that is in support of our salvation. It's the faith that you've asked us to have all the time. God, I don't completely understand it, but Lord, I know that I see your hand working. Father, and stories are stories, but God, I could go into many, but Father, I've seen your hand working at this church since my family and I have came here. Lord, if your hand was not working here, Noel would not be able to pen the lyrics to a song. God, the music would not be written. Lord, the piano wouldn't play. God, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, Father, the prophet was rebuked by a donkey that spoke to him, yet he still couldn't understand it. Lord, he still didn't stop. Where was his faith, Lord? God, he chose to falsely lead people in the wrong direction. God, that's not what's happening here, Lord. Father, I'm excited and I look forward to what you're doing for us. God, the Freedom at Last ministry, God, I pray that your hand is continuing to be upon that. And Lord, that you will burden the servants for that. Lord, that you will call us out. God, you will train and equip us as God. You don't call the equipped, you equip the called. Lord, I pray that all that are willing to step out in faith with that you will honor us with, God, what you're going to give us. And, Father, I know that you will. God, I pray for our grow teams that are going to be assembled. Lord, those that can step out and do that have time in their schedules. Lord, that they have time in their lives and they have the ability to do that. And those of us that don't, or can't do it, Lord, I pray that you will burden us that we can still be a support in that, in our prayer. God, in our time that we can give that maybe is not here, Lord, we can stop our work long enough to pray for them when we know the teams are going out. And Lord, the church constitution, Father, we know is we're supposed to be diligent with your word and the things that you give us and the laws of the land. Lord, we know that we have to have a constitution that supports our beliefs. And Father, I pray that your word is poured into that, your desires, God, not ours. God, we don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do what you want it to be. And God, Father, I pray that you will be in every part of that all the way through the process, Lord. And if it's not of you, that it will not go through. Lord, that will be completely you. Yes. And Father, for the construction of the church or the new sanctuary or additions or remodeling, God, I know that that's been a burden on Branson's heart for a while. And Lord, I know he has not gotten peace with that. Lord, through many conversations, or I've been able to tell with him that there's not been a peace with it. And Lord, I knew that was because you haven't given him your direction. But God, I thank you that you have. Lord, we don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know what the building's going to look like. We don't know what any of it will end up being, where it's going to be placed, what direction it's going to face, how many people is it going to hold. But God, all that is you. Lord, you give and you take away, and Father, you have been blessing this church for almost 220 years. And Lord, I know that your blessings will continue to be here if we will serve you by faith. Amen. And Lord, I myself, and I know my family, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you to work for you, Lord. God, we're here to do anything that we can in faith. And God, when we stumble and when we fall, Lord, not just my family, but everyone in this church, I pray that you will lift us up, God. Yes. You'll wipe us off. You'll push us forward in the path we need to go down, Lord, when it's comfortable or when it's uncomfortable, when it hurts or when we find joy in it. God, all of these things, Lord, I lay at your son's feet.
Yes.
Lord and God, I ask that you will use everything that you are calling us to do for your kingdom, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That is Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All God's people said, amen.
Thank you for your attention to the vision casting tonight of our theme. And Lord, just the sweet spirit in here. I appreciate each of you. And look forward just to our hearts being connected in the days to come as we walk by faith together. This is not a one-man show. This is God's body here. We are all members of His body, and Jesus Christ is our head. And we submit to Him, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful journey as we see God bless in the coming days. Well, we're going to do our gift bags a little differently this year. Normally, we have a time where we're distributing them, one by one throughout the congregation. But what we're going to do is we're going to have several of our men, Brother Mark and Mike and Arthur, and I'll make my way back there as well. If you will just come by the foyer, the table there, and we're going to just make those available to you. You just come by. We have them all labeled. We have your names on there. And just want to share just real briefly some of the things that you will find in your gift bag. The first one is that I'm just going to mention here, no specific order for any reason for the order, but is our updated directory. This is going to be our 2022 Crooked Creek Baptist Church directory. It's got our members and your birthdays and whatnot in there, your dates of joining and things of that nature. And as I always encourage you to do, I hope you will join me in doing this, but I use mine. I have a couple copies, but the one I have in my office, I use to pray for you. I get to go through and see how kind looking you are and how gracious you are with your smile, and I'm reminded of just some of your needs that I'm aware of and where you're at in life. And I just want to know, I pray for you, and I hope you'll do the same. I hope you'll pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ and reach out to them, send them emails and texts, just letting them know you're praying for them, staying connected. That is so important. Also, we have our missionary prayer guide. This has our latest missionaries added that we just voted on about 2 weeks ago. This is something that I hope that all of us will use. It, they have their emails in there so we can reach out to them, let them know we care about them, and that we thank God for them. I just happened to open up the page to the Gilbert, and you just remember, like the Gilberts, they're there learning the language. They're learning Danish, and I can't imagine how difficult that may be. And we need to be praying for them. There's many others that are just like that that need our prayers. Also, we have our new magnet, I believe this will be our sixth magnet, I think? Yeah, number six. And so how many of you have the five that you have it up? Okay, several of you have it up and have mine up too. You can add to that if you don't, no worries. But please put that up and be reminded of to pray for your church, to pray for one another, pray for what God has us doing. And just be remembered that God is going to be pleased by your faith. And then we have our bracelets again. And we did some different colors. We did some mixed colors this time. But on them it has Forward by Faith. Romans 1:17, and so I hope you'll be able to use those. If it's not your size or color, let us know. We have more in stock, and we will make those available to you. But sometimes we're not quite sure, and we want you to be able to have those. And then what we have is our calendar. And I'm going to let you have fun with this later as you go home. But again, I believe this is the best one yet. One of the additions we have this year, we do have the previous and upcoming months on each corner here. And on the bottom, we have birthdays and anniversaries listed. So as you have that month up, you see one of your brothers or your sisters in Christ that you recognize, hey, send them an email, send them a text, and happy birthday or something like that. Or just pray for them that day. Pray the Lord will bless them. And it's just another way for us to be connected and to show care one to another. But you'll notice at the bottom-hand corner here are those that took the picture. They get the photo credit and where they took it. And there were so many beautiful pictures this year, we couldn't fit them all in, so we put them at the end of our calendar. So some of you, it may not be on the month, but
They were just so beautiful. And I appreciate you guys doing that each year, sending those in. And I certainly appreciate Ms. Noel. She's the one that designs this calendar, puts it together. A ton of hard work goes into these, and I appreciate her making time to do that. It's always a special blessing to our church. And so these will be available, and I hope you'll take these and use these. And I hope you'll wear these bracelets. I really do, to remind you to pray, and also to opportunities for people that may want to know what that verse is about. And it gives an opportunity to share the gospel, because we walk by faith and not by sight, and we go forward by faith. I do want to tell you one thing that did not make the gift bags that we're going to be making available soon is our decals. We have repurchased more decals that we can put on our vehicles or the back of your computer or wherever you feel like putting it. But just again, just a reminder of our church and to promote our church. That's what we want to do. Though you'll be getting those here in the near future. All right. Well, I think that's it. Men, are we ready to hand those out? Okay, no hurry to leave tonight, but as you do leave, please go by and get your vision gift bag. And I just want to tell you, as we close tonight, church, as you look over the calendar and see the overview here, please just be in prayer that we will have revival in our church. That's what we need. I need it, you need it, and we want God to move. But revival can't happen without faith, believing that God will and can do what He's called us to do. Well, would you stand with me and we'll close in prayer?